Welcome to an exposition of the Gospel of John with Rev I.T. Matura. Get ready to be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Welcome to Lesson 17, which I've titled, Jesus Warns, Comforts, and Assures His Disciples. We are looking at Chapter 16 of the Gospel of John as we continue with our exposition, and what a blessed journey it has been this far the Lord has taken us. So I'm going to do an overview of chapter 16. Thereafter, I'll look at the key revelation, which comes from John 16, verse 18. Then I'll conclude with five lessons that we draw out of this chapter that will give us key wisdom keys and practical things that we can implement in our lives. So get your Bible, get your notebook. Let us get into the Word of God, and I believe our lives will be transformed. Now, from verse 1 to 6, we see there Jesus speaking about the coming persecution to his disciples. When we ended lesson 16, we were looking at Jesus promising the coming of the Comforter who will guide them unto knowing the Lord and bring to remembrance the things that Jesus had taught, because you'll be the spirit of comfort, you'll be the helper. So now, as he begins in chapter 16, he begins to warn them of things that are about to take place, and he tells them in verse 2, they shall put you out of synagogues. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father or me. So he tells the disciples, a time is coming that you are going to be thrown out of synagogues. They will kill you. And whoever does that will feel that they are doing service to God. And you know that this was fulfilled later when you read the book of Acts. You see Apostle Paul being among the chief persecutors of the church, arresting people, and Stephen is killed as a matter. But Jesus warns them of this time that was to come. But these things, in verse 4, he says, I have told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him who sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. So Jesus gives a sort of a warning that persecution is coming to his disciples, and that they will be persecuted because they are disciples of Christ. But he says, I've told you beforehand so that when it happens, you will not be surprised. Then from verse 7 to 15, we see that Jesus beginning to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. So he has told them of the persecution, but now he's almost comforting them by teaching them and telling them what the Holy Spirit will do. Verse 7 says, nonetheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So he says, it is good that I go, because if I remain here, the Spirit of God, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit cannot come. So it's better that I go. Why is it better? Because Jesus could only be at one place at one time, because he was in the flesh, God with us, Emmanuel. But when the Holy Spirit is around, you'll be in many places at once, and you comfort the believers and strengthen them. So Jesus says, it's better that I go. He then begins to tell them about the work of the Holy Spirit to the world. It says in verse 8, when he is come, he will prove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That means convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So Jesus says, I have a lot of things that I have to share with you, but you do not have the ability. you do not have the capacity to be able to handle them now. So he then goes on in verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. And what is truth? Jesus is truth. Yes. The Bible said in John 1, where we first looked at chapter 1, it says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And later you see that he says, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. And who is the word? The word is Jesus. So here he says, the Holy Spirit will guide you unto all truth. He will guide you to all the truth about Jesus. So they will be able to comprehend better as the Holy Spirit. Already Jesus had told them that the Spirit will not take of his own, but he will take that which I have given, and that he will speak to you, and he will remind you of the things that I have taught you. There he says, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he shall show you things to come. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So he then goes on, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. So you see that the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus, when he was on earth, he glorified the Father. He was the Son, and he said, whatever I do, it's the Father who does it in me. So when the Spirit comes, he will glorify Jesus Christ. So whenever you see a spirit that is there, and it is not glorifying Christ, and it is glorifying something else, know that that is not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will bring glory to Jesus Christ. It will lift up the name of Jesus. If you are there, can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, you see then from verse 16 to 24, Jesus then gives a prophecy of the grief of the cross that was to come. But he gives also the joy that will come after the cross, which will be in the resurrection. So he tells them that for a little while you will not see me, but then you shall see me again, because I go to the Father. So the disciples began to ask among themselves, what does he mean to say in a little while we will not see him, and because I go to the Father? So now Jesus in verse 19 knew they desired to ask him a question, and he then spoke to them and said in verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. So he tells them that very soon you weep and lament. Where will they weep and lament? It is when Christ is crucified. Verse 21, he says, a woman, when she is in travail or labor, has sorrow because the hour is come. But as soon as she has delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for the joy that a man or a child is born into the world. So Jesus is saying here, when a woman goes into labor, it's a painful time. But that pain and sorrow is swallowed up in joy when the baby is born. Now, that's why Hebrews says Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. So he's telling the disciples that a time of pain and sorrow is coming, but that time is going to be swallowed up by the joy of salvation, those that Christ is going to bring forth out of his travail on the cross. He's going to bring many sons of God. So he says to them in verse 22, and you now therefore have sorrow, but you, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So he says, you'll be sorrowful, but when you see me, and that is now after his resurrection, you'll be filled with joy. Verily I say unto you, in verse 23, whosoever shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. So he says, for as now you have not yet asked anything in my name, you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So you see that a time was coming when the name of Jesus was to be glorified after the cross, and it would be a name to use in prayer and bring powerful results in prayer when God answers our prayer when we ask in the name of Jesus. From verse 25 to 33, Jesus then further assures his disciples, and he tells them that I've been speaking to you in parables, but a time is coming that I will speak to you plainly and you will understand. In verse 27, he says, for the Father loveth you because he loved me and have believed that I came out from the Father. I came forth from the Father and I came into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. And the disciples then said, now you are speaking plainly and we understand what you are saying. Then Jesus asked them, do you now believe? Behold, in verse 32, the hour cometh, ye is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. So Jesus tells them plainly that the hour is coming, it's now at hand. And this is the hour that was just about to take place of the cross and persecution. And he says, you all be scattered, you leave me alone, but I will not be alone, because the Father is with me. In verse 33, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. So he says to them, I have given you these words so that you may have peace. The words of Christ bring peace. And he says, this world only brings tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good courage, because I have overcome the world. What that means is, I am a victor. So as I have overcome, you will also overcome. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at the key revelation. We see it in John chapter 16 and verse 13, where it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Hallelujah. So this is Christ. And the verse before this, Jesus says, I have a lot to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. You cannot bear it now. You cannot understand it now. So you see that many of the things that Jesus taught, they could not comprehend the fullness of it. They did not have the revelation, the insight of it. You remember, you read in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus, after resurrection, walked with two men going to Emmaus, explaining from the law to the prophets, to the Psalms, but still they could not realize that he was talking about himself, the Messiah that had to be crucified and to resurrect again. And thankfully now that this was after the cross, the Bible says when Jesus sat down with them and broke the bread, their eyes were opened and they then realized that it was the Lord. So Jesus says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, so for now you can't, but when the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. So all that which you are supposed to know, the Spirit is a guider. He will lead you. That's why the Bible says, they that are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. So the Spirit will guide us. That's why when you read the Bible, you can't read it in the flesh. You will not understand anything. You need to be guided by the Spirit. You need the Spirit of God to open your understanding. And he then says, he will not speak of his own, but he will speak what he hears. Now, this is key, because someone cannot come up and say the Holy Spirit is saying, and that revelation goes against what Jesus taught. Then it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks in agreement with Jesus Christ, because he is part of the Godhead, and he speaks in agreement with God the Father. Yeah. So no one can come with a revelation and say it's the Holy Spirit and it doesn't agree to what Christ spoke and taught. Then that's not the Holy Spirit, because the Bible here says he will not speak of his own. Yeah. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So he is also prophetic. He will begin to tell of what is to come. That's why when the Spirit of God is moving, there is a prophetic spirit. God begins to reveal things that are lying ahead. That's the power, the working of the Holy Spirit. He is a gift unto the church. And many times when we don't align or surrender or yield to Him, we don't benefit to the maximum that we should benefit. Now, let's look at five lessons that we draw from this chapter and this lesson. Number one, be prepared to be rejected for Christ. Jesus plainly tells the disciples that you'll be thrown out for my sake. You will be persecuted for my sake. Now, the Bible says whoever desires to live a godly life will be persecuted. So the moment you are following after Christ, there is persecution, there is ridicule, there is rejection. You can't avoid that unless you want some other gospel. But the gospel of Jesus Christ comes with persecution, because the world will not be happy when you shine forth the light of Jesus Christ. So we must understand that and appreciate that the gospel will come with persecution, and be prepared for it. But also be assured that the Spirit of God will be with us in that persecution. Lesson number two, the Holy Spirit is a leader. I've shared on this as I spoke on the key revelation. He will guide us. Now, the Holy Spirit does not lead by force. He leads. He speaks to us. He gives a witness in our inside spirit, a still small voice. We have to be attentive. We have to listen, and we have to yield ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit, that He may guide us, that He may direct us, that He may order our steps. And when you are led of the Spirit, you are guaranteed that you walk in the will of God and you see victory and you overcome. Lesson number three, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of revelation. He reveals things that are in the Word of God. He reveals things concerning destiny, purpose, assignments, calling. He reveals. He is a revelator. That is why Jesus says, it is better that I go. Because when I go, the Spirit of truth will come. He will guide you unto all truth. He will reveal the truth. And you, if you remember in the earlier lessons in John chapter 8, Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So knowing is revelation. So for you to know the truth, you have to be guided by the Spirit of truth. He will reveal the truth to you. And the truth that is revealed to you, it is the truth that will make you free. So as long as you are ignorant in a certain area, you'll be in bondage in that area. Until the truth is revealed, then that truth will make you free. If you are there, can you say amen? Just say, Spirit of God, open my eyes. Spirit of revelation, open my understanding. Hallelujah. Lesson number four, the cross will result in joy in the end. So it's very important that you see that the cross, though that it carries pain, but the end of it, there is joy. So when Jesus says, carry your cross, it is that same cross that will trade in for a crown. So there is no crown without a cross. You have to have a cross first before you have the joy of a crown. So you see that in the end, there is joy after the cross. And there is celebration after the cross. So we have to endure. That's why the Bible says, run this race with endurance. We have to endure what is here on earth, knowing that across there is a crown that is awaiting for us. Hallelujah. Lastly, our victory is in Jesus, who has overcome the world. I want you to know that we have overcome, and our victory to overcome is in Christ, because He already overcame. And that's why the Bible says we are more than conquerors, because already Jesus has overcome. We are coming just to enforce the victory of Jesus Christ. What Christ has overcome, we are coming to enforce it, to enforce that victory. So we are operating from a place of victory. We are not operating from a place of defeat. We are operating from a place where Christ has overcome, and we are enforcing that victory in our lives, families, cities, and nations, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that God, you may strengthen us and comfort your children, those that are going through difficulties, persecutions, and challenges, that they may be strengthened. That God, those that are to go through difficult times, you may strengthen them. And that when God, they go through this, they may come out with a testimony. I pray, Spirit of God, may you guide us unto truth. May you open our understanding in the word. May we receive revelation, and the revelation of the truth will make us free in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the victory that Jesus has won for us on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for the victory in the power of resurrection, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Stay blessed.
Thank you for connecting to today's teaching. Looking forward to connecting again tomorrow. For more of Rev. I.T. Matura's biblical teachings, go to innocentmatura.podbean.com.